As a kid growing up in the 70s and early 80s, I can remember watching football games on television. And always for the extra point after a touchdown, the camera would line up from an angle behind the kicker so that the goalposts were in full view. And just as the kicker would make contact with the football and send it end over end through the goalpost, a sign would pop up from the crowd behind the goalpost. Usually it would be fairly simple, sort of block letters with a big marker, and it would read John 3:16. And I can remember as a kid wondering about this sign. I knew what the reference was, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. And in my kid brain, I wondered about that. Oh, not the theological part. I wondered how this sign got moved around. Like, did someone go from one goalpost and then go down to the other at the other end of the game? Was the same person running from game to game between footballs? Did they buy tickets to go to multiple games in the same weekend? And then it would pop up at baseball and basketball and golf tournaments. I wondered how many people must be holding these signs to get them around to all these different games. And after doing a bit of research, I found that this was one way that the born-again Christian movement in the 70s and 80s did their advertising. It wasn't just at football games, at any sort of big sporting events that would get a lot of TV coverage. And that verse, John 3:16, became their mantra, sort of their mission statement, so to speak. Many Christians, those born again and those only born once, began to consider it the one statement of Christianity, sort of Christianity 101, and it was problematic. In order to understand this verse deeper, we need to look closer at our gospel reading from today, from the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is our outlier. Like the Sesame Street song, one of these things looks not like the other. Most biblical scholars agree it was the last of the four Gospels to be written. It was written in a different style. More emphasis is placed on discourses and sermons, Jesus's words and teachings, rather than perhaps the chronological events or the actions that the other Gospels cover. It is written within and for a particular group, what we now refer to as the Johannine community that was made up of Jewish people and Gentiles and Samaritans. And many scholars believe that the Gospel was written to strengthen the faith of these people in this community, in a way of setting them apart from the others around them, a way of them to define themselves against those people that they found in the world, which is why the Gospel of John can be highly problematic because of its strong anti-Semitic undertones, as this community was trying to show why they were no longer followers of the Jewish faith and were creating something new. So this is the context that our gospel reading comes out of today. Chapter 3 of the Gospel of John begins with the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a leader of the Jewish people. But he was also curious, and he saw something different in Jesus. He had come to Jesus at night, in the dark, in hiding, to ask him some further questions. He recognizes that Jesus comes from God because he reasons no one could do what Jesus is doing if he didn't come from God. So he begins to ask Jesus questions in response to some of Jesus' teachings. For example, he asks, "How can anyone be born again after having already grown old?" Jesus keeps talking about being born from above, and Nicodemus is just getting more confused. They have a conversation where Nicodemus is trying to understand Jesus' words literally, while Jesus is speaking to him using images and double meanings. And eventually Nicodemus just gets angry and throws up his hands and is not willing to go any further in the conversation. And then we come to our reading from today. And things get a bit more confusing. In Greek, there is no punctuation in the way that we are familiar with it in our writing. So it's not clear where Jesus' discourse ends and where the narrator's voice begins. Some biblical scholars argue that Jesus' last words are verse 16, and that the sentence beginning, "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world," actually begins the narrator's voice. There does seem to be a shift in tone, and the message is different in the second half of our gospel reading today. John 3:16 speaks of God loving the world. The entire world, I might add. John does not pick a certain part. There's no differential treatment in this statement. It very clearly says that God loves the whole world and thus sent Jesus to live among us as a human. I think this is where Christianity can often go off track, because we try to link the idea of God loving the world with the phrase later that states that those who do not believe in Jesus are condemned. But what if we can separate these two statements and think of them as two voices, Jesus and the narrator speaking to his community in his context? Jesus sharing God's love with the world, and the narrator, based on the context of the writings, speaking to those that were in the community, trying to define their community apart from those that are around them. Then the statement, the poster that we saw at the football games, can fully flourish. You see, it no longer has to be in a binary way that we as Christians believe that Jesus has eternal life as opposed to the rest of you that do not. Rather, we can see it as an and statement. God loves us and sent Jesus down to us to share this love. And this is one way that people can find God. I believe that God loves all people, as John 3:16 states. And we, those that are sitting here today, as well as many others that consider themselves Episcopalians, Protestants, Christians, believe that Jesus came to earth so that God could connect with us in a new and a different way. And there are also people in the world that believe that God loves them and connects to them in different ways. Through prophets, through teaching, through nature, through poetry, through other people, etc., etc., etc. The list is infinite, as God is beyond our understanding. And our desire to control our lives and our world, and ultimately God, we try really hard to fit God into a little box. This is often illustrated so clearly when we define God narrowly into our own understanding. God is so much more than our human brains could possibly understand. In our Book of Common Prayer, there is a version of the prayers of the people, version 5 to be exact, that prays for all people who have died in the communion of the church, and to those whose faith is known to God alone. That phrase has always brought me comfort. Faith is known to God. In other words, it's not our worry and it's not our concern. God knows and loves each of us to our very core, to that part of us that no one else sees. And this connection that we have with God is perfect and whole and life-giving. As you spend these last 2 weeks in Lent and prepare to enter Holy Week, I would like to offer you an invitation. I invite you to add someone to your prayers. I don't know who that will be for you, but here is a description of them. Someone who you do not love. perhaps someone who has hurt you in the past, someone who has wounded you deeply, someone who makes you very angry, or someone you have just a very difficult time being near. And I ask you to give them to God. Sometimes it's more than we can do to pray for them on our own, but we can give them to God. Because perhaps that's the most difficult part of our gospel reading today. God loves them. God really loves them. And you and I might never understand that, ever, in the rest of our lives. And that is completely understandable because we are human. And so we hear this gospel today, this story of the Johinian community, as we listen today, March 10th, in Pleasant Hill, California. And we claim this story as our own as well. And we hear this story differently. We hear it as an and instead of a binary or story. We can hear God's love for all as opposed to God just loving those who believe in Jesus as the Christ. We can hear God's promise to be with us for all time and know that God will be with all people, those to whom their faith is known to God alone. And we can understand that God is so much more than our humanity can grasp or understand, so that God can connect with people all over the world in their own way, their own language, their own belief systems, and their own culture. Because God is and not or. Amen.